Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com, and if you have a question, we'll answer it eventually. And it's you can email us a question at askjim@jbsba.com. Pia Arrhenius is our guest and our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. She's senior economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, one of my favorite organizations, and she's one of my favorite people in that organization. Pia is the lady who joins us from time to time to talk to us about immigration, because that's the area she focuses on. Pia, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show, Pia. What I want to get into first is we'd like to get your opinion and your evaluation of the president's immigration proposal that he made three weeks ago. Tell us a little bit about it, and remind us what his proposal is all about, and tell us what your thoughts are.
Yeah, this is so interesting. When this came across, right about the beginning of January, President Bush announced what they're calling a new temporary worker program, and I actually thought of your audience when I heard of the proposal. Because
we appreciate that. It's always good to have somebody thinking about you.
Yeah, because, it might be something that could really benefit small businesses.
Right. All right.
But basically what he did is instead of proposing an amnesty like many people had hoped or expected, he proposed basically what's more like a guest worker program, which means he's going to facilitate bringing people in legally from other countries and allowing them to work here under temporary work visas that were going to be of 3 years duration and then possibly renewable.
Now, is that provision for new people or the people who are already here?
That was the interesting part, is that he was going to make the people that are already here, that are, what we call illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants, were going to also be eligible for this program, as well as with those who are, still in their own home countries.
Mm-hmm. And we typically think of this having been focused on the Hispanic community, but the truth is it's really more encompassing than that, isn't it?
Yeah, he did not limit it to any certain countries. Like, he could have limited it to the NAFTA countries, for instance, and that would have basically, been Mexico. Or he could have limited it to Mexico and Central America, maybe the Caribbean Basin. But he really didn't place any limits a priori on where these workers could be from.
Right.
And the reason that we have it is because right now we have legal immigration, either family-based or we have job-based immigration only for high-skilled workers. We don't really have any job-based immigration that's legal for low-skilled workers. So that's sort of the need that he's trying to address with this program.
Well, and the idea here is that this kind of addresses the issue, especially the challenge they have, like more recently identified in California, where you've got workers that they need out there. They actually need these people. They're most of them are illegal right now, but they need to get driver's licenses, don't they?
Yeah, there's so many issues and foremost, he did state this concern with Homeland Security and the fact that we have probably what we believe are 8 to 9 million undocumented immigrants in the United States at this time, and that that they basically cannot get driver's license, cannot get official identification cards, and that they sort of exist in this sub-economy where we don't know who they are or what they do.
So in this three-year period that he's giving them, so what do they need to do? Just they need to come forward and just say, I'm reporting in, and what do I need to do?
I mean, you bring up a good point, because that's the tricky part with those, with the ones that are already here is really the one of the tricks of this plan, and I'm not sure how it's going to work. Is how do we get them to really come forward and say, okay, I'm here and I've been lying to my employer. I actually am not here legally.
Right.
And give me a temporary visa, which I don't know if ever, it's going to be renewed or how long it's going to be. So there's a lot of questions about
some of them are going to say, well, look, I've been here 15 years. Why would I want to opt for a three-year term?
Yeah, Jim, you're exactly right. And then on the other hand, I'm also not sure why you as an employer would want to participate either, because right now it's, you know, employers, as long as they check the documents of the worker, they're in the clear. They can't really be held
responsible. Even if the documents have been forged.
That's right, because you can't expect, you know, just small business owners or employers to really know the difference between a fraudulent document and a real document.
What do you think will be the? I'll tell you what, Pia. Hold on to that. When we come back, I'm going to ask you what you think will be the result of this right after these messages, and we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be back with Pia Arrhenius, who's senior economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and one of our very favorite members of our Brain Trust. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Pia Arrhenius, senior economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And folks, I encourage you to check out their website, and that's at dallasfed.org. And Pia, can they find your immigration assimilation report that you published this month, or in January?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's on there. I think it's under Expand Your Insight, That should be on there.
It's the immigration assimilation. Is the U.S. still a melting pot? And it's about that issue very exactly. And should we worry about immigration assimilation? And talks a little bit about the low-skilled workers and the education gap and a lot of important stuff there. A very, very good report there, Pia. Congratulations on that good work, too, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Thanks.
The president's plan for immigration and I asked you a question just before we went to the break there.
Yeah, what are the effects likely effects going to be of this plan? Well, I think assuming that people, you know, employers are going to participate in the plan and that workers, immigrants are going to participate in the plan, then I think that there's lots of benefits to it in terms of, you know, increased homeland security. We're going to be more secure. Our borders are going to be more secure, and we're going to be more aware of, or law enforcement will be able to concentrate.
Now, that's the story, Pia. Do you really believe that? You really believe that this will contribute to security?
I think, well, to a certain extent. I mean, of course, now, really, in the interior, we don't really spend a lot of resources chasing after illegal immigrants anyway. So, maybe, you know, not.
So if they can make it to Kansas, they're probably okay, right?
we really don't spend much on interior enforcement anymore. We used to, but we don't now.
Right.
That's one argument. And then, really the benefit for the workers is that they'll be free to travel outside the country so they can go home and visit their families and come back and work and so forth.
What we've got to do is we've got to define the benefits of this program and show them how it outweighs the way they're living right now, don't we?
Yeah, in order to get them to participate. I'm also concerned as employers, why would employers participate? Because really the only way you're going to get firms to participate is you're going to have to threaten them with really trying to crack down on those who don't participate and who actually hire illegal workers. So,
or you could use the carrot approach and try to do what I think some of the organizations have tried to do over the years, like OSHA and some of the others, and try to say, look, we're not trying to bust you for this. You know, if you'll come clean, if you'll let us know what's going on, we want to work with you so you can become part of the solution in this whole process.
Yeah, that would be a much more intelligent approach.
I hope they do that way.
Yeah, no, that would be the best. And
all they need to do is listen to you and me, right, Pia?
Yeah. the one thing that really, I don't know, if I were an employer, I would worry about, how am I going to prove to the U.S. government that I tried to hire an American worker and could not?
Right.
Because that's part of Bush's proposal. How am I going to prove to the U.S. government that I can't hire an American? I mean, when you're hiring and you really need a person, you know, you just grab the guy who's standing there. I mean, you know, a lot of times you need somebody to help out. And, gosh, to have to go through some big rigmarole where you have to prove to the government that you tried to hire an American.
It sounds like you're a little skeptical about the ultimate success of this program. appeal.
I'm excited about the big ideas and the fact that President Bush seems to have an understanding for why we have illegal immigration. That
right.
it's based on the economic needs of this country and of mm-hmm. the immigrants. But I really am a little bit skeptical about how we're going to implement it.
Well, I'm kind of looking at it like the effort we're having in Iraq right now. You know, people are complaining about the fact that the Bush administration doesn't have the best plan in the world for getting Iraq democratized. But you know what? Who has a plan for that? I mean, when has it ever been done before? And so, at least something's trying to be done. And so I kind of look at this plan the same way, Pia, in that, okay, this is perfect, but it's better than the one we had last year.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. I mean, at least here's a guy who really understands why we have illegal immigration and who's trying to do something about it, or so it would seem. So
his Texas background, having been governor of Texas, you think that gives him a special perspective on the situation more so than, say, if he'd been governor of Vermont or somewhere else?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's very refreshing. And something I didn't know about Texas when I first came here is that people here really have a good appreciation for what trade means, international trade and migration, and our relationship with Mexico is of particular importance here in Texas. And it's just people from here really have an understanding for that. That's very refreshing.
Well, and speaking of Texas and that whole Southwest corridor, Pia, can we look at that corridor, Texas and New Mexico and Arizona, Southern California? Can we look at that as sort of the bellwether for the way the rest of the country is going with regard to Hispanic immigration?
I think you're right, Jim. I mean, I think we can. We, right now, in this report I wrote that you referred to about immigrant assimilation, what I talk about is today 20% of our school children in K-12 are either immigrants or the children of immigrants.
You to say that again, what you just said. Say that again.
20% of school children in grades K-12, 20%, that's 1 in 5, are either immigrants or the children of immigrants.
And is that nationwide?
That's nationwide.
20% are immigrants or children of immigrants.
Yeah.
That is a jolting statistic. I'm not saying it's negative. I'm not saying it's sobering. I'm just saying that is a very interesting statistic, Pia.
Yes, and a large share of them are Hispanic.
Yep, absolutely. Stand by, Pia. We're going to take a quick break. We got more to come with our good friend Pia Arrhenius, senior economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us, please. Back is 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. And we've got Pia Arrhenius. We're talking about immigration and the whole issue of immigration and the impact on the marketplace. Pia, as I said earlier, is senior economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Don't forget their website, folks. It's dallasfed.org. And I encourage you to order their free annual report. Now, when you think about why in the world would I want a Federal Reserve Bank's annual report? Just a bunch of numbers. Well, let me tell you something, folks. In the back, there are numbers, but the first 70% of the annual report is one of the best written pieces of information about the marketplace, about the economy that I have ever seen in my life. It's written in plain English, so even I can understand it. Pia, you guys do a good job with that. And this year is about the last one, the 2003 report. Was about, well, I guess it was a 2002 report, was about free trade. And do you know what the new one's going to be about, Pia?
I think the word is it's about productivity and productivity growth.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. We always have Michael Cox join us and talk about that. Okay, Pia, you were just talking to us about some of the impact of immigration on our culture and on our society, and you were telling us that 1 in 5 school children, K-12, are either immigrant children or children of immigrants. What are some of the other impacts that we're seeing right now?
Yeah, so what you'll see is that percentage is much higher. You're not going to believe it when I tell you what it is in California. In California, it's 55%.
Wow.
Over half of school children are either first or second generation immigrants.
You know what Texas, the number is in Texas?
In Texas, it's about 25%.
Yeah. That surprises me. I would have thought it would have been higher.
Well, in Texas, we have a lot of higher generation immigrants in that they've been here longer.
Okay, so they might be Hispanic. They just don't fit the.
That's right.
The other profile. Yeah.
We have lots of Hispanics, but they've been here longer than typically in California. But
right.
The interesting thing is that what we have now is we have people like we have a state demographer in Texas. Who's running around saying that basically because we have so many Hispanic children and because high school dropout rates are so high among Hispanic children, that basically forecasting the demise of the Texas economy or any economy that has a large share of fast growth of the Hispanic population because of these because he says it's going to be a low-skilled labor force for the future when we really need a high-skilled labor force.
We've got to be going. That's going in the wrong direction, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't really... Part of the reason I wrote this report that you referred to is because I don't really buy what...
You're not buying into that, huh?
No, I'm not buying into it. Because what happens is when you cite the high school dropout rates and you include the first immigrants, the ones that actually came from Mexico, you get a really high dropout rate. But that's because those guys never even went to school when they came here. They just go straight to work. Once we start looking at sort of the actual, you know... immigrants and children of immigrants that are Hispanic that go to high school in the United States, only about 15% or 16% of them drop out of high school. Now, that's still a lot higher than whites or Asians.
I think we've got a crisis, almost a crisis situation in dropouts, period, in America. Not just the immigrants. I mean, we've got way too many kids dropping out of high school these days.
Yeah, any child dropping out is one child too
that's
many.
Right. That's right.
I certainly agree. But I think that's reversing itself. I mean, certainly among whites, we've seen a decline in dropout rates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to impact the Hispanic population as well. I think we're going to see a decline in those dropout rates. And I think we're going to see improvement because what you see in the marketplace is that education is rewarded more and more.
Right.
And there's really no reason why race should matter when you're responding to economic incentives.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no reason.
Right.
So I think it's going to get better.
All right. We've got about a minute, Pia. What are some last observations that you've got for us with regard to immigration in the 21st century?
Well, I think I'm positive and optimistic about the future. I mean, I think that I think we have to pay a lot of attention to education and public education and how we're educating these children. And if there is anything we can do in the policy arena, not just throwing money at the problem, but sort of thinking about intelligent ways about dealing with children that are at risk for dropping out or children, you know, think of intelligent ways to deal with this problem, you know, like tying teachers' pay to merit.
Right.
So teachers that do quite well, you know, pay them better and reward them for their efforts. I mean, let's be intelligent.
That's a marketplace approach that you're talking about, Pia, and the challenge is going to be getting the educational, organizations to accept marketplace types of approaches. And I hope what you just said comes to pass. But I'm concerned about that. Pia, thank you for being here. We'll get you back again real soon.
Thanks, Jim. It's
Pia Arrhenius, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes. Small business owners, this is Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.